Welcome to the Choose to Be podcast. Thanks for joining us.
Where healing begins with you, and we're here to support you along the way.
Welcome, everyone. Thanks for joining me. It's just me today. I wanted to jump on and do an episode around the resource that Alana and I were talking about in a previous episode. The resource that I created called Victim to Chooser, where it walks you through the four different stages that I often see my clients go through, whether they're choosing to stay in the relationship or leave, because I do work with both. I still feel like there's these stages that each of us move through and hopefully keep moving through until we can all access more of that agent power mode, like I talk about, access more of that chooser, that agency mentality. I intended to go through the entire, like all four stages for this episode, but that didn't happen because I get gabby and I just wanted to keep talking about all these different things. And I found myself so many times going, okay, this one thought can be an entire episode. Needless to say, I'm splitting these in two. Today, I'm going to be covering victim and emerger stages. And actually, when I realized, okay, this is too long of an episode, I'm going to need to split this in two, it made more sense to me to take this slow. Today, I'm going over victim mentality and emerger and what those two are like and how to start bridging that gap. And of course, at the end of the episode today, I leave you with a couple things to do and practice until the next episode where I will cover reclaimer and chooser. I'm using this resource more and more with my clients. And where it started is, and those of you who have been listening, we talked about this particular resource, gosh, it's been a couple years, but it was Victim to Thriver. So it went over different thoughts that victim mentality holds. Then it went to survivor. What are the thoughts that a survivor might think? And then a thriver. And I had shared it with a client not too long ago. And as I was going through it with her, I was starting to die inside because I'm like, wait, I don't like this. I don't like what I'm showing her right now. And so it encouraged me and spurred me to create my own, which of course I am calling Victim to Chooser. I want to go over the different stages that I see, that I actually see happen more than like victim, survivor, thriver. I feel like there were a couple stages missing and I wanted to highlight those, especially because I think as I go through these different ones with y'all, I think they'll relate to the stages that I've created, that I've articulated. And more than anything, the whole goal of this is so that you can better identify and recognize and become aware of where you are currently at, whether or not you are, let's say, living in this space other than chooser, where you might feel stuck in this space, and hearing what those thoughts are in the next stage can help you move forward. It can help motivate you. It can help maybe unlock something in you to go, oh, that's what that next stage looks like. Okay, that's the mental space, the mentality of someone who is in reclaimer or chooser. The other reason why I think this resource can be helpful is, and you will hear as I go over some thoughts that are in the chooser stage. I know for myself, when I was in this space of victim, because I had been victimized, when someone would offer a quote chooser thought, it was almost laughable because I was just like, yeah, that is ridiculous. There's no way you believe that, or just felt impossible. It often felt maybe that's for you, but not my lot in life. Yeah, that sounds really great. Whoever's offering me this new bassy thinking, like woo-woo thinking, but I don't deserve that kind of life. And it felt impossible to even fathom that I could have the life that I do now. It felt impossible that I could have the life that, as you, again, when you hear me go through this stage, I never imagined that I would, let alone think, but believe those thoughts. Wanted to say that right out of the gate, because if you are in that space, if you hear me go through these stages and you hear me in the chooser stage and it feels impossible, it feels like there's no way, or that's not for me, or I'm not worthy of that kind of life or thinking, or it's just, again, not possible for whatever reason. Maybe you have the experience where like, oh, I didn't know that was a thing. Just like the healthier I became and the more I learned and became aware of what healthy looked like, it was like, oh, that's the thing. I didn't know. Because when you have only experienced unhealthy in your own relationship or even your family of origin, how are you supposed to know? How do you know? Someone gets on a podcast and opens her big mouth and starts telling you, hey, this is actually possible. You can think this. I just really want to validate that if this feels impossible, I get it. I've been there. And like I've said before, anything is possible when you choose it. The other little disclaimer, if you will, before I go through these different stages, is you might find that you could relate to a couple different thoughts in every stage. And that's okay. This isn't to put you in a box. This isn't to say, oh, you're only in victim or only in emerger or only in reclaimer and you're not yet chooser or whatever. Because the truth is, we will have thoughts in every single one of these different stages. What we're doing is to become aware of if we're stuck in one of these that is outside of the chooser. Where I see most people get stuck is in that victim or emerger state. I'm going to go over those in just a minute. The other thing that I want to mention here is there is a difference between choosing to stay a victim and being victimized. When you have been victimized because someone used their agency to take yours away, whether that was limiting your awareness and knowledge of their behavior in that relationship and how it impacted you, whether that was absolute power over physical, emotional, mental, using things like gaslighting, manipulation, blame shifting, any sort of those tactics, techniques, and methods to assert power over you in some way, you have been victimized. Anytime your agency, your ability to choose, has been limited without your knowledge or with, doesn't matter. If you have not had the ability to make a choice because someone limited your choice or you subterfuged to keep you from choosing, you have been victimized. Whether or not we choose to stay there is, in fact, your choice. If you recognize that you are in this space, I also want to remind you that there is a purpose for these thoughts. That when I go through these different stages, they are not good, bad, right, or wrong. Let's not moralize any of them, okay? When you've been victimized, there is a space and time that these thoughts that I'm going to share with you serve you. For example, when trust has been broken at the deepest, most intimate level in your relationship, now is not the time to trust. When you have been victimized because this person absolutely blew the trust that you had with them out the window, we do not jump into trusting 100%. That sets you up for re-injury, right? So when you're in this space of you've just been victimized, you've just had absolute betrayal in the most intimate way possible, your victim thought is, I will never trust you again or anybody else again. That thought serves you right now. It protects you right now. So as I go through these different stages, be curious about the different thoughts that correlate with each of the stages. Ask yourself, is this thought that I am having, that I'm recognizing, oh yeah, I think that, is it serving me? Is there use for it today? Maybe there was use for it a month ago, a year ago. How is it protecting me? Is it really protecting me still today? And as I share the different thoughts in the stages that move you forward, just consider maybe this thought in emerger serves me better right now. And this is just going to help you move forward and better articulate, am I really moving forward or am I staying stuck? Am I living in this space? Maybe that's not serving me anymore. So let's just jump to it. The victim stage. When trust has been broken, when you've experienced betrayal trauma at the deepest level, when that trust that you gave, that you offered, has been misused, then of course the thought will be, I will never trust again. What I see often in this stage is I will never trust anybody again. I don't trust myself. I don't trust my partner. I don't trust other people. I don't trust God. I don't trust anybody. And we can go to that deep space of distrust in all things when we have been victimized. The other thought is if they would just change in this particular area, then I can. If they would just go to therapy, if they would just stop their behavior, if they would just, then I could. And that's under the victim stage because notice the power that we are giving someone else in order for us to feel a certain way or be able to do a certain thing. We're giving that power to the person that actually used their power to victimize us. The next one is, I am not enough. I am not enough. I'm not pretty enough. I'm not sexy enough. I'm not good enough. I'm not worthy enough. I am not enough in some way. That's our brain sometimes, or parts of us. And sometimes that's how our brain is trying to make sense of what just happened, because it can't even fathom. It didn't expect this to happen. It didn't choose this to happen. So it's trying to find something. And guess what the brain does? Guess what the inner critic does? It blames you. I'm not enough. There's no way. There's no way out. There's no way I can get better. There's no way this is going to work out. There's just no way. There's no way in whatever it is around the circumstance or what you're facing. This thought, there is no way, is a victim thought. It's a powerless, limiting thought. I can't do this alone. I can't do this alone, and I can't be alone, is a victim thought. I have to do this alone. How many of you feel like you have to do it all alone? You're carrying the weight, maybe because you're in that space where you haven't told anybody, where you feel like you can't tell people. You feel very isolated. You feel very alone, feel crazy, and you feel like you have to figure it out on your own. Your partner might not be figuring it out. Other people aren't there to help you at this time. This thought of, I have to do it alone, all on my own, is a very victim thought. Things will never get better. How many of you feel that right now? It's never going to get better. It is what it is. This is very hopeless. Hopeless lives in victim. I am powerless to change my situation. Again, notice how we're giving the power to a situation, to a circumstance, to a person, rather than taking that power back. This is where I mentioned earlier, there's that difference between being victimized, which you did not choose, where power was taken from you, agency was taken. You did not choose that. And you get to take your power back. That is how you use your agency to not remain and live in victimhood. I'm ashamed what happened to me. Gosh, can I relate to that? I didn't want to tell anybody what happened. I didn't want to tell anybody. That was the whole story made up about why he broke his hand. I wasn't going to tell him that it was because of abuse. I told him a different story. I was embarrassed. I was ashamed. I still felt like I caused it. This is my life sentence. I hear this one even in my divorce ladies, where they're still experiencing the post-separation abuse, and even after divorce, because they feel like they still have no power. They feel like this is their life sentence, and they have zero power in their life because the power is, again, being given to the circumstance, the situation, or the person. They're not taking that power. Leaving will only make it worse. How many of you believe that, live in this space? So we're stuck. We're hopeless. Again, powerless. Victim to this idea that if we leave, it's only going to make things worse, that there's no possible chance of getting better. And it's interesting because this one, gosh, I could do a whole episode just on this one, but it might get worse to get better, but we leave out the get better part. It might get worse for a time, but yet our brain's not going to let us see what comes after that. It's very limiting. We're very myopic in this space of victimhood. I'm too damaged. How many of you think that, believe that, and now are holding on to that thought? Again, a lot of my divorce ladies who come out of the relationship and they contemplate getting into another one, but they don't believe that they can. They don't believe that they have the right to get into that new relationship because they are too damaged. I have to stay in this relationship because, however you want to finish that sentence, notice the word here is have to. And whether you are in the relationship, maybe you're on your way out, or for those of you who are out of the relationship, maybe it's I have to communicate with him about all the things. Do you? Maybe you just communicate to him the things that are in the legal document. Maybe it's I have to stay because of the children. Again, do you? I'll tell you this, all the clients that I've had work with me who believe this statement, I have to stay because, and we'll just say the children, once they actually move into the different stages of emerger, reclaimer, and in chooser, they look back and they're like, oh gosh, yeah, that was very limiting. I didn't have to stay because of the children. But whatever that I have to stay because, that word have to is limiting, powerless, and that's why it's in this victim stage. Now, if right now you're choosing to stay because of the children, that's a completely different statement. And if you are choosing to stay because of the children, then that does not put you in victim. So again, it's that word have to that's limiting. And that's what we want to pay attention to when we're getting curious about the victim thoughts and this victimhood. What's wrong with me? How many of you feel like something's wrong with you? That if you were just better, if you did something different, then the situation would be different or your partner would be different. So you put all that weight, all the blame, all the responsibility. What's wrong with me? I remember thinking, what's wrong with me that I chose this person? What's wrong with me that I didn't see this happening? What's wrong with me that I didn't pick up on this sooner? What is wrong with me? Again, you did not choose this. And you had someone who's very skilled in those abusive behaviors, tactics, and techniques to hide, to deceive your reality. You did not choose this. You did not cause this. So when you put yourself in this space of what did I do wrong, you risk living in victimhood. Maybe if I change, then they will. This kind of goes along with the same type of thinking here, right? If I change, if I am better, if I'm skinnier, if I'm whatever, then they will not cheat again. Then they will not be mean. Then they will, however you want to finish that sentence, notice how there you believe there is something wrong with you and that you need to change something about you. This is completely separate. Okay. This is not you are perfect and don't need to do anything to make the relationship healthy. That's not what this is. This is you've been victimized. Then you keep yourself in victimhood by believing that if you did something different, you would not have been victimized or you won't be victimized again. The power is in this other person's choice. They are the one that made the choice. What happens is we try to change their behavior and their choices by changing us. And that right there is what's going to keep you stuck in this victimhood thinking. I chose wrong. I chose the wrong partner. So it really is my fault. I, again, hear this a lot out of my divorce ladies, especially those that are thinking about re-entering in the dating scene and they are even contemplating dating again. That is the number one biggest fear is, well, what if I choose wrong again? If you believe that you chose wrong, you are putting yourself responsible for someone else's choice, someone else's cognitive choice to harm you, to victimize you. When you believe this, it limits you. No matter where you're at, married, divorced, dating, it limits your options. It limits you. It keeps you hopeless and powerless. That's why I have it in this victim stage. Why me? This one also is a victimhood thought. Why me? Why am I the one? I remember thinking nobody else has to go through this but me. And it was so hard too because I was surrounded by people who were either putting on a really great facade, come to find out, or where I was just surrounded by people that weren't letting me into what was really going on in their life, right? It's not like they had to, but it felt like, oh my gosh, everybody else has this perfect life, especially when I went to church or even when I went to work and I saw happy couples or even couples that perceived to be happy. It was this ideal of, it fed this belief of why me? What's wrong with me? What did I do? That is very victim thinking because again, I'm putting myself in a situation where I think I did something to cause the behavior of someone else. That is not true. It can't be true. It goes against the principle of agency if that is true. You've been victimized because someone else made a choice with their agency. When I believe, if I kept believing, why me? It must be me. I'm the only one, nobody else. That is powerless. That is, again, putting myself in a one-down position. Dare I even say a little bit dehumanizing? There must be something intrinsically wrong with me and broken that I'm the one that gets treated this way and nobody else does. This opens up a whole can of worms of resentment and martyrdom. So being aware of if this thought is where you are living, grasping, and holding on to, it's probably why you're stuck. Okay, the next one, boundaries don't work for me. Oh boy, do I hear this one a lot. Boundaries don't work for me because when I say the boundary, the other person doesn't do the thing. Okay, again, we're giving power to this other person. You've heard me talk about this all the time, right? Boundaries are between you and they are for you. Boundaries without consequences, boundaries without completing what a boundary really is, if you, then I will. The then I will is the chooser agent part of the boundaries. When we leave that out, what we're really saying is, hey, don't do this. Hey, stop doing this. And then we're just expecting this person to actually do what we want them to do. Notice where the power goes in that statement. When we create a healthy boundary and frame it as such, we hold the power. Hey, this isn't okay with me. This behavior is not okay with me. And if you continue to do that, then I will leave the conversation or I will not be participating in said activity, whatever that is. Notice how I am giving myself the power. That right there takes me out of victimhood. When we think boundaries don't work for me, I think that's a good opportunity to step back and go, okay, why aren't they working? Is it because the other person isn't adhering to the boundary? Is it because the other person isn't doing what I want them to do? That is giving power away. It doesn't matter. I don't matter. Nothing matters. Victimhood. You do matter. And your relationship matters. And what you think and feel matters. What happened to you matters. And then the last thought, and I know there's so many more, but this is just a general list. I didn't want to make it too long. The last thought here is, it's too much to feel. I just can't. In victimhood, we numb out. There's a lot of shutdown where it's absolutely way too much to feel. And again, like I was saying in the beginning, there's a purpose in this stage. So when you have been victimized, when everything comes tumbling down on you, your body knows exactly what it needs to do to protect. And so it very likely will shut down all of the feelers. We numb out because it is too much at the time. You need to gain some sense of safety and stabilization so that you can start feeling. And that's where we get into a merger. But right here, when there isn't any feeling, when we're numbed out, it can serve a purpose for a time when it is not safe to feel. Now, this is why we don't want to live here, because that's obviously not healthy. I think you've heard me talk enough about feelings that we don't want to live here and how it's absolutely not sustainable. But if you're in this space, because right now we can't, it's too early, it's too raw, we're not safe to feel, we've got to find some safety in our bodies and in our space to feel, then it's serving you right now. Okay, so we're going to move on to emerger. I really, really, really want to make sure those of you who have parts that are shaming or judging any of these thoughts that you might be relating to right now, please just take a deep breath, maybe hit pause, give yourself a hug. It's okay. You have been victimized. You've had something happen to you in your life that you did not choose. We can move through this by accessing that agent power mode, your agency to choose what you do with the experience that you didn't choose. As I move forward to the next stages, it's okay to notice that you might have these victim thoughts, but you might say, oh my gosh, I have some emerger. I have some reclaimer. Fantastic. Let's focus on those. Practice acquiring more of those thoughts in these upcoming stages. Okay. The next one, emerger. You go from, I'm never going to trust anybody ever again, to I'm trusting the patterns that I now see. Notice how here, you're not really trusting yourself. You're not really trusting your partner or anybody else. There's still a lack of trust. But in this emerger space, we're starting to recognize the patterns of behavior in ourselves, in the relationship, in the other person. We're starting to trust the pattern. We're like, okay, so about every 2 weeks, this is the pattern. I can trust that about every 2 weeks, this is going to happen. Or I can trust that after a quote apology, now there's the love bombing. This is why it's so important to recognize the pattern, write them down, acknowledge what's happening so that you can go back and go, oh, I do see the pattern. And now I can learn to trust the pattern. That is absolutely part of the emerger stage. It's a really important part of emerging. Also in emerger, the thought is, wow, I really can't control them or it, the situation. This is where we get that dose of reality. Like, oh, I have been trying so hard in this thought of if they would just, and if he would just, then I could. And I'm starting to see that yeah, that's not happening. And doesn't matter what I do, I've tried everything. I've tried changing myself. I've tried everything I could possibly think of to change that person, to change the situation, to control the person, and it's not happening. So a merger is this space where you're starting to grasp this idea of, oh, and it might be followed by a four-letter word, oh, I really can't control this. The next one is, maybe I do deserve better. That's an emerger thought. Rather than, I don't deserve, I'm not enough. Emerger is, you're starting to recognize, huh, maybe I do deserve better. Maybe I want better. The next one is, I need to move forward, but I'm just not sure how. That's okay. It's okay if you don't know how yet. You've emerged from victim mentality into this space of recognizing I do need to move forward. I don't want to live here anymore. I can't live here anymore. It's not serving me anymore. I just don't know how in the world I'm going to take that next step, but I do know I need to take a next step. That's a merger, and that is enough right now. The next one is, I'm not okay with this anymore. Ooh, I think that's a really progressive thought. Rather than, I should take this, I have to take this, I'm supposed to take this, to, I'm not okay. I'm not okay with this behavior. I'm not okay with being treated like this. I'm not okay with the situation. I'm not okay with how the situation is limiting me in my life. I'm just not okay with it anymore. I don't know what to do with that, right? I'm not okay. And then I don't know what the heck to do with that. But a merger is just starting to recognize and believe that this isn't okay. Then the next one is, I have rights and options. Where victim, you don't think you have any rights, any options. I don't have a right to be treated with respect. I don't have any options. There is no other way to, there might be another way. I'm hearing about other ways. I'm hearing people talk about other ways. I'm realizing that I actually do have a right to be treated with respect. I actually do have a right to be treated as a human with humanity. I actually do have a right to honesty in my relationship. I do have a right to absolute full disclosure. This is a merger. You're emerging out of the dark that the person who victimized you kept you in. The next one is, I am ready to see reality. I might not like it. In fact, I know I won't. But I'm ready to start looking at things as they really are, right? Reality is things as they really are, not what we love, not what we want. But in victim, we are ignoring. Victim is denial. Victim is rationalization, minimization, not only because the other person has been doing that, but now we start doing that to protect ourselves, and I air quote protect. But at some point, that becomes not sustainable and isn't serving you. It's harming you. And so emerging out of that is, okay, I'm ready to see things as they really are. I'm ready to take my head up a little bit and look up a little bit. Then you believe I'm not totally helpless. Victim is feeling absolutely helpless and hopeless. Emerger is, I'm not helpless, because most of the time, those who get into emerger, because they found other people. They found other people to relate to. They found other people that can help them. This is why getting professional help can move you out of victim into emerger, because you're like, okay, I'm not helpless. I have someone to help me. The next one is, I need support from others who get it. So you might be recognizing that people that you perhaps wanted to hear you, believe you, support you, might not be able to for whatever reason. And that can bring up a lot of grief as well. But you're finding people and recognizing that you need to find people that do get it, that can support you in the way that you need. This is absolutely going to help you move into the next stage, is that support. Maybe I can change my situation. Notice how in the merger I'm using maybes, I might. This is that we're not like quite out of victim. We still feel like it's really scary to move out of that, but we're still swaying into possibility, maybe I might type of thinking. That is really beautiful, and that's very emerging, right? You're coming out of this shell, and you might go back in, just like a turtle pokes his head out, and then it gets scared and goes right back in. But it's still going to emerge when it thinks it might be safe. Maybe I can look around a little bit. Maybe I can see some different options. We're emerging out of this really dark shell of a space. So maybe I can change my situation. I've emerged my head out of the turtle shell, and I'm looking around and I'm seeing other people doing something different. I'm hearing other people that I trust saying that I can do something different. Maybe I can. I can see the purpose in having boundaries. This is a merger. Doesn't mean that you are maybe setting them yet or keeping them, but you can definitely start to see, oh, I see why I need them. I see the purpose behind them. The next one is maybe I'm not the problem. So rather than making yourself the problem, right? And that victim of I'm the problem, it's all me, why me? Emerger, we're moving into that. Huh, maybe this really is their problem. Maybe this really is their issue. Maybe I'm not the problem. The next one is I feel angry that this happened to me. Emerger is where you will start to feel the emotion of anger. And anger is such an important and beautiful part of this stage because it's what's going to keep you moving forward. Remember, anger is an action emotion. It shows up when there has been a violation. When we ignore anger, we're going to stay stuck. When we use anger to fuel our feet forward out of victimhood, that's what gets you out. That's what helps you keep moving forward into the next stage of reclaimer. But you're not using the anger to weaponize. You're not reacting to anger. We are using it to move our feet. It's an action emotion. I do deserve better. I am not okay with this anymore. I do have rights and options. Anger is going to fuel that right now. We're not going to live here. That's why emerger is a stage. If we live in anger, then we're going to stay stuck. But if we use anger, we move forward. I feel angry that this happened to me. The next one is grief is all around. Grief is going to come in emerger because you are ready to see reality. When you start seeing things as they really are, now remember, you have lived in a false reality that your partner painted for you. You thought that you were living in this reality. You thought that you were on the same page. You thought you had the same goals. You had a reality collapse and it became too hard, too overwhelming. And so we go into a little bit of the like, put our head in the sand. We rationalize, minimize, justify, because it's too much to take all of that reality in at once. So we need to emerge out of it. When you do start to recognize things as they really are, when you start to recognize what they really did, grief is all around. Sometimes people think if I see reality and see things as they really are, then it might be like, aha, joyful, not joyful, but like more of an uplifting, positive experience. No. When you see things as they really are, things that have been hidden on purpose, then you're going to experience grief. It's part of it. And then the last one here in emerger that I'll mention is I am noticing all my emotions. Doesn't mean that you might be feeling all of them. You might be reacting or still avoiding, numbing out, but you're starting to notice them. You're noticing the anger. You're noticing the grief. You're noticing depression. You're noticing bargaining. You're noticing sad, hurt, betrayal. You're noticing the emotions. And that's a really good thing. It doesn't feel good, but it is part of moving out of that numbing out, right? In the victim. The absolute numbing out and avoiding. All right. I'm looking at the time and I'm like, dang it, Amy. I really was trying to keep this shorter, but I'm just going to embrace who I am. I'm going to split this up into two. I'm going to keep these two sections today. And here's what I'm going to offer each one of you to do to practice in between this week's episode and the next one. I want you to go through the different thoughts, victim and emerger, and drop into that pillar of awareness. Notice if you might be living, not visiting, not using for purpose, but living and stuck in one of these stages. A lot of times we can get stuck in victim when we do feel and believe we are powerless, when fear, the overwhelming fear, has the keys to the car and is just absolutely driving us over a cliff. We can get stuck because we believe that we can't change our situation. And it's very real, especially when you are in an abusive situation. So if that is the case, if you're afraid because there is an actual potential threat to your life or a literal threat to your life, then you do need to work with a professional on the way out. Financial dependency, lack of support externally. So now you feel trapped. When you internalize messages of your worthlessness or self-blame, believing that you caused this, that you deserve this somehow because of the choice that you made. It can really make it hard to envision a life outside of victimhood. If you feel like you're living and stuck in emerger, I see this happen when rather than feeling the anger and letting it move to create boundaries and safety and move forward, it overcomes you. It consumes you. A lot of times emerger stage, you can get stuck because you do start seeing possibilities and yet struggle with the overwhelming uncertainty and doubt around those possibilities. That doubt, doubting your judgment, fear that you're going to make the wrong decision, and just that daunting prospect of significant life changes that are going to come with change that can absolutely paralyze your action steps. And so this might happen because you're lacking information, maybe lacking some resources, doing more perhaps psychoeducation, learning, gathering information, becoming more aware of not only options, but what you can actually choose to do within those different options. So let's just take time here, even if it's noticing your progress. Maybe you are listening to these different stages and you're like, oh my gosh, I totally remember being there. Maybe this is your aha moment to recognize that you aren't living there anymore. Sometimes it's really hard to see our progress. It's really hard to see our growth. That's why I like this resource, is that it can also help you see where you're not living anymore, where you're not spending time anymore. That can be a moment of celebration. So if that's where you're coming from today, then intentionally celebrate this week and be mindful of your growth. Be proud of your growth, that growth is possible. Next week, I will go over the next two stages of Reclaimer and Chooser. So stay tuned for that. And as always, continue to choose healing, choose recovery, and choose you. Take care.
Hello, my name is Morgan Ellsworth, and I'm here to share with you information about a new group offered by Choose Recovery Services and led by myself for adult children who have experienced betrayal at the hands of their parents and need support while navigating their own experience and journey with betrayal. This group is called the Adult Children United and Healing Group and will be a processing group for adult children ages 18 and older to come together to share their experience, gain community, learn valuable tools for coping such as emotional regulation, managing triggers, healthy communication, and living true to personal values. This group meets on Thursday evenings at 6 o'clock Mountain Time, and you can register at the Choose Recovery Services website. If you have any questions at all, please don't hesitate to reach out, and I'm looking forward to working with your adult children who are navigating their own journey of healing.